Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. So there is those expressions like the way to a man's heart is through food. Well, I think we're going to find out a little bit more about the way to a man's heart, the way to being empowered and being a full woman in terms of the embodiment of body, mind, and spirit, and just feeling good, embracing your sensuality and your sexuality. Because I've got a very sexy, special guest on who's got a very special event coming up, and it has to do with an erotic book, Love and Cooking, which is pretty hot, very sexy. And I've got the lovely, the wonderful Tennille in the house. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
So for my listeners out there who don't know about Love and Cooking, tell us a little bit about the book, just in a nutshell, and then I want to get into more details.
Yeah, sure. In a nutshell, it's a creative nonfiction erotica cookbook. Most people say, what? What is that? Basically, it's an expression of myself about my previous love life. And it's all of the above. It has erotica in it. There's recipes. There's love stories about my relationship with food, my relationship with love. And then it gets pretty heated in some moments, and then it cools off. So.
That sounds very intriguing. Do tell me more about the heated moments. It sounds like there's lots of teasing. It gets hot, then it cools down, then gets hot, again, like waves.
Yeah, it. One of my readers have already mentioned that they feel like there's like this underlying, like, okay, when are they going to have sex again? And that sometimes there's like a little bit more detailing of the sexual experiences. But more than anything, I think it's like a mood and a feeling that I try and give to people. Yeah.
So in perfect world, how should somebody feel after they've read your book? And I know you've already done one run already of it, which sold out, which congratulations.
Thanks.
And you're mentioning you've had some really great feedback. So what are some of the feedback takeaways you're getting?
Yeah, there's been a couple ones, emails that have just been like, wow, thank you. I get to be more honest with my sexuality. So that's one thing I'm really proud of, because I'm proud of my own openness in my sexuality, and expression and pleasure, and positivity around that. And then some of the wonderful women that have wrote in, they're really excited about the empowerment of women and how that I'm a not typical, you know, in the news media woman shape, but I love my shape. They're really empowered by that, and they really hold on to the love stories that are woven into the book. And then some of my guy friends and male readers, they're just excited because there's breasts and recipes. And so they're like, awesome, I get to make cilantro chicken and look at your breasts. So that's great too.
What's has there been any surprising comments that you've gotten that you weren't expecting?
Not yet, but I hope to be surprised.
Okay.
I think that when an artist puts themselves out there, that you can be empowering people or scaring people. I'm very aware that some people might find it very challenging to look at it, read it. They might not want to even look at it and read it, which is okay too, because that means I'm challenging them in some way. Mm-hmm. And whether they want to look at themselves and learn new things, or they don't, and they're not ready, and that's okay too.
That's true. Just wherever they're at is a safe space.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the big difference do you find between a love story versus a erotic story? Because, I mean, we could go full on Penthouse Letters Or we're talking Harlequin romance, and I know those are the commercialized versions of right. all of the above, but yeah. What is that in your perception?
In my perception, I think a love story is the same of, well, I think every story is a love story, technically. We're humans, and it comes down to love a lot. But I think erotica, to me, is being honest in, like, moments. Mm-hmm. So being conscious in your sexuality. I'm really fascinated by sexuality, so I study it a lot. But just expressing yourself in honesty and what turns you on, what doesn't. How can you describe a certain moment that turned you on, you know? So I think that to me is what my erotica, I think, is. Perhaps that might change in 5 years. I'm not sure. But for right now, that's what I feel like. Mm-hmm.
And in regards to opening up in terms of sexuality, in our pre-show chat, you were mentioning just how with school, et cetera, you've been able to literally, like, about, I don't know how much I can talk about on air.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah,
all right.
For sure.
In regards to stats and masturbation, which I thought, what a great way to learn stats. So, because statistics tend to be a little bit dry, unless
totally.
It's something that you're actually interested in. And so,
yeah, well,
which do tell about that, because that I was just like, wow,
what's that about? Yeah, last fall I was finishing up 3 courses for my associate's degree in creative writing, and it's the 3 courses I never wanted to take, of course. And so, statistics was one of them. And it's funny because I really love math and science. My brain really works that way, but it's not my passion, so I don't really practice it. Going into stats class, they were like, okay, you have to work with 3 other people and do a group project. And most of our examples are like GPA and age and what does that say, you know, kind of studying that. And I'm like, that is so boring. Who cares? So I was like, what is my interest? Well, it's sexuality. And I've been writing for an online international magazine called Corset. And I was pitching to them for their masturbation issue. And I was like, wouldn't it be interesting to, like, document or write about studying masturbation in a college? And I was like, ooh, it's just statistics class and a writing project. Perfect. So I didn't know really how to go about it. I was like, okay, do I talk to classmates? Because I didn't know anyone in my class. Do I talk to my, like, instructor? Do I go up in the front of the class and be like, hey, I want to study masturbation. Anybody else interested? But I just didn't. And so I, like, got a group together, and the first day we were talking, I was just like, does anyone want to study masturbation with me? And they're all like, like, there was kind of like silence, and then they all looked at each other to see, like, the gauge and interest. And they're like, okay, what do you think? Would we be allowed to do that? And I was like, well, I don't know. Let's submit our idea and see what happens. So I submitted to the teacher our outline and our plan and, like, how we were going to get data and stuff. And she brought it back to me, like, the week later. And she's like, I'm very interested to see your results.
And how did you pitch to get data?
We bribed them with candy. No, but in all seriousness, we set up a booth, and I wanted it to be more casual. I didn't want to, like, go hand out papers to what typical methods. I wanted to invite people to come to the survey. So I went around the student union building and just like, hey, we're handing out candy and asking people about their masturbation habits. If you're interested in letting us know, like, come fill out this form, you know. And we had a lot of really great conversations with people and responses, and a lot of not so positive responses too. A lot of people didn't fill out the data. There was people that, like, didn't really know what they were signing up for. They were like, oh, candy, like a statistics project. It should be about GPA. And I think they got there. And even though we had, like, binders for, like, anonymous ballots, I think people were, like, a little nervous and shocked about, like, you know, I asked them, like, have they mutual masturbated, and what age did you start masturbating at, and all those things. So yeah, it was a really fun project, and I'm glad, like, my wonderful Langara went along with it.
And in terms of, just out of curiosity for that, what were the approximate results? I know you don't have it right in front of you.
Yeah, no.
But
it was, I mean, we had to, like, come up with, like, what are we studying? So we just, I mean, there was a lot more interesting questions we had, but we wanted to see the relationship between the statistic on people masturbating, whether they're in a relationship or not. And of course, there was also, like, if you've lived with your partner or not, and those differences. Mm-hmm. So yeah, most people that are in a relationship, they masturbate less. It's not really shocking to me, or anyone, but it was a nice process to go through. And like, I'm no Kinsey, obviously, but it was interesting and exciting.
Kinsey had a lot of money behind him,
gosh,
though, too.
And so. Time. Yeah.
But, you know, the world is young still, it's so true. Who knows? So
yeah, exactly.
In terms of, I love just your creative approach, and I'd love for you to share just with our listeners, because you've been an artist, you've been a director, a producer, have gone back to school for your associate arts degree in creative writing. So you've done a lot of, been able to explore in lots of different mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, in terms of the, and you said, describe the book as basically it's a culmination of you, essentially, where you're able to share.
Yeah, how I create, I guess, is kind of like how you breathe. And, you know, I'm not one type of artist. I'm kind of everything. And I paint, and I've been writing poetry since I was 7. In junior high, I went to a creative arts center for 4 years, and they taught us how to, like, go learn a subject and then apply it to an art form. So I developed, like, a critical thinking mind and an artistic practice when I was quite young, and I was passionate about a lot of different types of art. So I think for me, like, when I was in theater, I was, you know, taking many different art forms and putting them on stage. So for one of my first plays, Alone Beautiful, what I did was actually, like, I had 3 actors on stage. I had a movement character who had no words. I had a poetry character, and then 2 live musicians. Someone did live painting on the stage every night. So it's kind of like, I really value input from many different artistic points of view. And with the book, I'm calling it a creative nonfiction erotica cookbook, because I can't really label it properly in what the labels that we have currently in the publishing world. But it has, you know, erotic photographs, recipes, stories. It also has a lot of poetry in it. There's even some of my paintings. When I was going through my breakup with my ex-partner, I was really attracted to painting my expression and who I was and what am I trying to say. So there's artwork, and there's even things like, I've created a little map of the Juan de Fuca Trail, and instead of the Juan de Fuca Trail, there's all these, like, kisses along the way, and stuff like that. So I was really, like, excited to collaborate with my designer and really create something totally different. Like, it's not a novel, it's not a cookbook, it's something different, I guess. It's just me, so I guess I'm different in some ways.
Different's a good thing, and especially being able to be brave enough to share that with the world, which I think is awesome. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to chat more, and I want to find out a little bit about the cooking as well.
Sure.
Even though I know it's a sexuality show, I'm curious, because, I mean, I think there's aphrodisia snacks for all of us. So you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about 4 times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, and People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca. April 4th through 6th in the CIRS building, it's the New Economy Summit at UBC. an incredible weekend of discussion about creating a sustainable, local, and financially sound economy, free to all students, faculty, staff, and community members. For more information, go to neweconomy@ubc.ca.
Hey there. My name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We are an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
On April 4th, CITR and the UBC Film Society present an end of the year party from 6:30 to 11. Featuring Noble Oak, 41st and Home, Hooves, Squirrel, Young Braised, and DJ B. Come by the courtyard located on the top floor of the UBC sub for some sunshine, cheap beer, and good tunes.
And we are back in Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we're having some awesome conversation about love and cooking, which is an erotic, nonfiction, sexy cookbook that has multiple wonderful things in it by the lovely Tennille Gibb, who I've got in the studio right now, which is very awesome.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show.
Awesome.
So we talked a little bit about the erotica, the art, as well as some of the love stories in there. And I'm looking forward to later in the show, which fingers crossed that we can share one of the stories, which I can't wait to hear Yogurt Cunt. It sounds awesome. But I was wondering, tell us a little bit about the food as well. Like because at first, when I first heard from Brian, not the Brian that is in the book, but your publicist. I wasn't sure if it was going to be things like basically I envisioned 9.5 weeks in my head where, you know, like Kim Basinger type of character is like blindfolded and the, you know, and then, you know, getting to try all sorts of stuff and having all sorts of wild stuff in the kitchen. So, but there is actually recipes.
Recipes and they're really good. Well, I think so. I've never said that I'm a great cook, but I'm far from terrible. And I think, in the kitchen, me and my ex-partner, Brian, really explored a lot. And I feel that, we were just really imaginative and we would do crazy shit, you know, in the kitchen, whether it be sexual or we were cooking. And just the connection that you can develop with someone in cooking is so, I think, sensuous and beautiful. And I think for the food and the recipes, it's just about taking risks, you know, in the sense that, like, there was one recipe, we were making, like, pasta with chicken and pasta sauce, you know, but I also put in mango and grilled up, like, a rhubarb stick and put it in there. And people are like, what? That sounds crazy. But it's actually just, like, beautiful to take risks in the kitchen. And I think I was surprised because when I was putting the book together, I've been collecting recipes and that for 5 years between us. And I looked back and I was like, oh gosh, there's no dessert recipes. This is the worst erotic cookbook ever, which is quite interesting. There's like cilantro chicken, there's pecan delight, and they all really nourish people, I think. When I cook for people, it's something so from my heart. It's I feel so privileged to share my meals with people. And it's really important, I think, in relationships to spend the time as well. You know, I'm not interested in, you know, the 30-day or 30-minute cooking time. I'm like, hey, let's just hang out, drink a bottle of wine, and get to know each other, get to know our food, and relax and create something beautiful. So that's kind of the cooking in the book.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So cilantro chicken sounds awesome.
Cilantro chicken is very good.
What other recipes are in there?
There's breakfast recipes. So the perfected pancakes. There's I think 26 recipes in total, which is really exciting. There's everything. There's curry turkey tacos, which is really good. And it's funny, too, because since I've been single for 3 years now, delightfully single, but I have become celiac since.
And I'm just going to ask if there's anything, just in terms of gluten.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of people with sensitivities.
Yeah, and I'm mostly vegetarian now, which is also interesting because there's,
chicken.
Chicken dishes, there's seafood dishes, there's a beautiful salmon dish, and it's about celebrating coming to Vancouver from Calgary together, and we were blessed to live in a beautiful apartment on the ocean in English Bay when we first arrived for 4 months. And just the clunkiness of getting to know each other in a different city, but learning how to connect in the kitchen, and when we're feeding each other, how that really inspired a lot of creativity in our meals, mm-hmm. in a new space, in a new city. In Calgary, we would go to the Safeway, drive in our SUV and go to Safeway. Here, we, sold our car and we bicycled, or we walked to the, corner market, the grocery and veg store. And so just shifting from cities has totally changed my diet as well. And I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful that we did that journey together as well.
How has it, because you've mentioned that you're not together anymore with him, how has the writing the book, has it been cathartic since breakup, or how?
It's been a wild journey, okay. That's for sure. It started when I started writing the book when we were together, obviously. Mm-hmm. So the first, how it kind of, the idea of the book came up was, when I first met him, every single day I was writing in a little journal to myself. And after 6 months of dating, I went back and I reread everything. And I was like, oh my God, this is all about sex and food. There's nothing else. There's just sex and food, and sometimes together. And so I was like, oh, there's something to it. And, from that moment, I kind of was like, this is interesting. This is a way to be in love. And explore that in your writing instead of being an angry artist, because I was addicted to that cycle for sure, as much of us are. And then what the first year we were together, I wrote my first love and cooking chapter. It was called Meeting the Best Friends, and for Christmas I actually gave it out to my friends as a gift to celebrate their friendship and their support and this newfound love I had. And it had a couple of recipes that me and Brian had put out. So that was the first version, and that was 5 years ago. And then from then it kind of evolved, and Yogurt Cunt I wrote when we were still together. And after that, he was like, you're crazy. I don't know why you're talking about all this stuff, but go for it. So he's really supportive, and I'm truly blessed that because we had such a beautiful connection then, we can still hang out now and be really close and good friends. And I gave the book to him a couple weeks ago, and it's basically a big love letter. It's like a thank you. It's a beauty, oh my God, look at how much I learned about myself and my food and my nourishment and all that. I think he's really proud of me, or so he says. He gave me a high five, and he's like, you're crazy, but it's wonderful. So yeah, it's really beautiful. I feel really special.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Wow. In terms of in terms of with the celiac, etc., mm-hmm. would you, if you were writing your next
book.
Love and Cooking. Yes. Love and Cooking Part 2 or Love and Cooking 2 or...
Yeah, we're calling it. I'm already working on it. Okay. It's called Love and Cooking, now gluten-free and penis-free. Which I'm pretty excited about. So yeah, it takes on the gluten thing. And it also talks about, like, I guess going back to masturbation, as it always does. you know, like, relearning how to love yourself by yourself has been such a beautiful experience for me in the past 3 years. And it's not that I haven't had partners or lovers or dates and all these wonderful experiences, but just taking the time to get to know myself again, and what do I desire, who am I, what turns me on in the context of me now, you know, previous to that relationship, I masturbated a lot, and I, like, sometimes one summer I was like, okay, so how many times can I get myself off a day? Or there was a time where I was trying to get myself off with just mental stimulation and no touching. So I kind of, like, had all these wonderful challenges. And so after we broke up, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I do this again, you know? So just, like, really getting cozy with yourself and understanding what you want in partnerships, in lovers, in anything, right? Mm-hmm. So, which has been really exciting. Yeah.
It would be really exciting, especially the dating yourself again.
Totally.
And as you said, just because there's just so much growth that happens during a relationship, every day of our lives, there's always evolution. Yeah,
definitely.
So especially, mm-hmm. yeah, just getting to learn how to play again and what works now and as the body shifts.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because even major stuff like the celiac, for example, it does affect your sexuality, etc., because the whole body is affected.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe how much my body has changed since 3 years ago. I took myself off birth control, which is a huge thing, and celiac. And my entire life, my systems are so much happier. Everything about me is just, like, calmer. My eyelashes grow, you know, differently. Things like that. Like, I didn't really realize how much this was affecting my body. And, you know, I used to have asthma attacks all the time. And I used to have anxiety problems because B12 wasn't digesting properly in my body. So since I was, like, 10 years old, I've been having to take supplements. And now I don't have to. Like, it's just, it's such a beautiful thing to learn now, you know, rather than later.
No, definitely. Yeah,
definitely.
What would you recommend to somebody who, or suggest, or maybe that's a better way to put that, to someone who's just gotten out of a relationship?
Hang out with your friends. I don't know. I think taking whatever moments you need to, if you need to be upset or crying from happiness, from one of my things was, like, I was drinking a lot of orange juice and watching a lot of pornography because I kind of was like, okay, like, I don't know how to relate to myself again, like, what is that? And you know, that was a way that I just trying to, like, trick myself out of habits, I guess, that I had with someone. Becoming single again, date yourself, go out for dinner on your own, be luxurious. I think it's so important to spoil ourselves. And when you're taken care of so well in a relationship and then you're out of one, how do you care for yourself? You know, is it bubble baths? It's not bubble baths for me. I like a 2-minute shower, you know. But is, like, I'm really connected to yoga, so how am I breathing? Where's my anxiety at? And how do you open yourself up to other people again? You know, going through that process is so interesting to me. falling flat on your face, going on crazy dates, people being like, I want to marry you after one date. It's like, well, that's not going to work. you know, so that's, go on dates and go out and take the time you need to, though, right? I think it's so different for every single person. I can't really, like, yes, go do this. It's like, be honest with yourself, see how you feel, and take it day by day. Like, every day is going to be different. So you might want to masturbate. You might want to go out and have sex. You might want to watch a sappy love story and cry all night. I don't know.
But I think that's the big thing, is to really listen and communicate with yourself, whatever that be. And literally explore everything. So whether or not it's you want to learn how to speak Chinese.
Totally.
Do it. Sign up.
Just go.
Yes. and at the same time, also making sure you're still taking care of yourself, too.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes there's also the potential for going almost too far in the recklessness. So just watch your pocketbook, especially if you were sharing finances with somebody as well beforehand.
Yeah,
so that's usually a good time to pay a trip. I'm being really dry here to the, to our friends who are the financial planners.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Just letting them know. So then that way, you need, if you need to shift anything, etc. Yeah. And then once you've done those pieces, made sure that you're housed properly, you're well fed, you're taken care of, then you can play within that structure because you've got that nice template to play with.
Yeah.
And then see which ones you want to break a bit.
Yeah. And I find that, like, at first I was like, okay, so everything we did together, I don't want to do, you know?
Mm.
And it's so hard because we were so connected in so many of our passions, you know? I love playing Ultimate Frisbee. I play it twice a week. And he got me into it. And I was so pissed that I had to play Ultimate Frisbee for the first year with him, you know? But it's so dear to my heart. And I met so many people through it, you know? So that first time out on the field with, like, us not being together, it, you know, it was like, ugh. But it's like, work through it. Go, keep going. Doing the things you love. Doesn't matter if someone introduced you to it or not. And if they're around, that's great. If they're not, that's okay. And just keep doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
No,
definitely.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of for coming up on the 12th, so this is pretty exciting stuff. So tell me a little bit about what's going on at Beaumont Studios that night.
Yeah, so at 8 p.m. the doors open. First and foremost, it's Love and Cooking. So I have hired some chefs to actually come and do some recipes from my book. So you get full catered food at the event, which is really exciting. There's other things like, there's music suggestions in the book. So there's like music to fuck to, music to love, music to support. So there's been these moments in my relationship that I'm like, this song means everything in this way to me. So I put it in the book as an ode to like, fuck yeah, love songs, that's awesome. Or like, oh my god, I need to listen to NoFX to get me through the day. So things like that. I'm bringing in musicians to perform those music suggestions. And then I have a talented friend of mine. She's an actor in town, Elizabeth Kirkland. And she's actually taken one of my chapters, Yogurt Cunt, and turned it into a monologue. Years ago, she's like, I need to do something different. So she blew me away with what she did with it. So since then, we've collaborated a couple times on that. And so she's going to be performing that that evening. And then I'm also doing like an art exhibit from the erotica in my book. So yeah, it's kind of odd. I've been working on that a lot with my beautiful photographer Chenna this week. You know, blowing my pictures up 2 by 3 feet, and I'm like, okay, I'm nude with Brussels sprouts on me, and now I'm framing it. You know, that's been a really interesting, exciting process for me. And finding someone to work with that we're just so on the same page artistically, and you know, just seeing visions. Like, there was one chapter in there called His Other Love, and it's basically a photographic thing of mustard on my breasts, and there's like this layout that I've been dreaming about for 3 years, you know, and to get a photographer to exactly express what I need to express, and then the designer to like work with me and pick out the fonts and the colors that I want. It's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that, you know, some creative portion inside of me has expressed that, and then everyone's on board with it and bringing it to life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we're also going to have like a 3D photo booth. So we're going to actually have a bed in the space with prints on hot pink sheets, of course. And there might be a male model in the sheets with you. So that's going to be really exciting too. So
that sounds like really interesting. Are cameras allowed at this party?
Definitely. The more cameras, the better. Yeah, I have a videographer coming in that I've been working with. He's really super excited about the project, and we're working on 6 videos actually for the book in the next 6 months together, which is really exciting. So there's going to be a lot of fun that night, that's for sure. And it's going to be surprising. I hope there's people there that are shocked and surprised and excited and all of the above. So, yeah.
How has this whole experience changed you?
Yeah, I guess I never really, like, when I was young, I don't really have, like, this is my life goal and now I'm accomplishing it. I don't really work like that. So writing a book and then publishing it and learning, like, I love business and the arts. So I kind of, like, did that in theater. I was like, I want to know about how to make money in theater and all these. So shifting to being a publisher and a writer and all of that, being an artist and a sexual person, into one product, it just, I feel so grateful. I feel like, oh my gosh, I get to be myself. I get to sell a product I so believe in. I get to be creative every day. So I literally, like, every single day, I'm just, like, so grateful and feeling so blessed to be who I am. And the communities that support me are just phenomenal. Like, I couldn't do this without hundreds of people helping me and loving me and supporting me and fucking me and all these people, right? Like, just, like, totally being there for me in the way I need. And so it's just, like, a celebration. I feel like this project is a celebration of life, of people, of love, and cooking. So, yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd mentioned in pre-show chat, just in terms of encouraging people to embrace their sense of sensuality and sexuality. Yeah. What do you think we need to do in this world to make us not so Victorian era, where we're shy, embarrassed, in an era where we don't slow down sometimes and take the time to make a cilantro chicken, whereas, and I keep saying cilantro wrong,
but cilantro chicken, yeah.
But we don't take the time to do things like that. Sometimes we're rushing through. Vancouver's got largest per capita the amount of restaurants than anywhere else in North America. Definitely. How do we encourage people to take time for themselves?
That's a great question. I think I'll answer that in two parts.
Okay.
So being sensual and accepting themselves, I remember when I was 16 in comm class, which is like career and life management, they asked us, like, what is the one thing you would change in the world? And a lot of people are like, yeah, I would like to change, you know, hunger issues or war. And I just was like, I want everyone to be comfortable in their own skin. Because if I think this is maybe very beautiful and idealistic, but I think if we took the moment to be okay and comfortable in our skin, we would share our food more often. We would share our shelter. We would figure shit out, I hope. I think what I want to do is inspire people to be more honest with themselves first. And really dial down the outside opinions that we have in our lives, because it's not productive, right? It's comparing yourself to something that it's not you. It doesn't exist. You are you. And how do you start celebrating that and not giving a fuck about anyone else in that way? And then in partnerships, I even find if you're more honest within yourself about your sexuality, what your preferences are, if you're monogamous or not, if you're straight, if you're queer, if you're pansexual, whatever it is, if you're honest with yourself first and then you're able to actually communicate that to your partner, like, that's going to be a better life, you know? You'll get the sex that you want. You'll get the love and desires that you care to receive. So I think taking the time just to, like, clear shit up. What do you want? How do you ask for it? I think is really, really important. And then taking time for food, that's very exciting. I think you want to find the people you want to spend time with.
That's true.
Right now, like, I live in a beautiful house, and I have an urban farm in my backyard right now, and I live with five of my closest friends. We just have built this really wild community, and we're artists, we're professionals, we're a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And my favorite time is when, you know, all of us get together and we just, like, cook like crazy, and we're just sitting on the deck and drinking sangria and, you know, absorbing what we have in life. So for me, food is such a connection to people. I think
it's about celebration.
Yeah, it's just, how can we take these moments and be together and, you know, come up with crazy concoctions or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And I find that, like, compared to when I just lived on my own or with one roommate, you know, when we had totally different schedules or whatever, I wasn't inspired a lot to cook for myself or nourish myself. It was like, yeah, okay, I'll just go out quickly for that or something. But living with people or sharing moments with people, it's just, it's nice. It feels good to be like, I made this for you. And vice versa. I feel like food just tastes way better when someone's made it for me. Right?
Very much so.
Very much so. I love it. Cook for me anytime. As long as it doesn't have gluten in it. So, yeah.
We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to chat some more about love and cooking.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Welcome one and all to Pride UBC's last barbecue garden of the year. To celebrate the end of the year, Pride UBC will be hosting a Hollywood Decline themed party on Friday, April 5th from 8:30 onwards in the UBC sub, room 212A. The idea is that we'll all start out looking our Oscar-worthy best, and the evening shall evolve or devolve into whatever you want. Think front of the house red carpet class to behind the scenes sass. Bring all your friends. The event is open to anyone and everyone 19 plus. Whether you're gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, two-spirited, gay-friendly questioning, or you just like mingling, come on down. $3 cover and $3 drinks. Once again, April 5th from 8:30 onwards in the UBC sub, room 212A.
On April 4th, CITR and the UBC Film Society present an end-of-the-year party from 6:30 to 11. Featuring Noble Oak, 41st and Home, Hooves, Squirrel, Young Braised, and DJ B. Come by the courtyard located on the top floor of the UBC sub for some sunshine, cheap beer, and good tunes.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us tonight, we're talking about love and cooking. And I've got the wonderful Tennille Guy right beside me. Actually, really up close and personal right now because just due to technical issues, we need to get a little close because we are going to be having her read from her wonderful book, Love and Cooking. So this is a piece called Yogurt Cunt, which I'm very curious because I had an envision about what I thought it was going to be, and apparently it's more than that, so I'm really glad. So you're going to get to hear it here first.
So this is a piece that has been shortened, so in the book it's actually a little bit longer, but you'll get the gist from this. So this is called Yogurt Cunt. I always get worked up into a giddy girl excitement when Brian makes me dinner. It is one of the most romantic things a man can do for his gal, to make her dinner from scratch and from the heart. And that night was no exception.
He arrives with Safeway bags full of groceries, when it was still okay to request plastic, of course. He enticed me with each vegetable coming out of the bag. Zucchini, onion, carrots, peppers, mushrooms, and the last ingredient, habaneros. He continues to showcase his findings with a Vanna White ooh-ah factor. Paprika, coriander, cumin, cinnamon, and turmeric. Homemade Indian curry. I leap to give to him and give him a sexy kiss and hug. Anyways, fast forward to all the ingredients in the pan, and Brian, as he always does, announces, "It's now time for everyone to get to know each other." The spices are like a penis penetrating the veggie's soft vaginal walls. The meal itself is fucking divine. The spices gave a good romping to the veggies, and the naan bread really helps with the burning sensation in my mouth. After the tea lights are blown out, we move to the couch, entangling ourselves. He advances downwards. His favorite place on my entire body is the little patch of hairless skin before my vagina. I feel hot. I feel turned on. I feel, oh fuck, I'm hot. I wanted more, but I wanted the burning to stop. After my first pungent orgasm, I let him in on the situation. He laughs out loud. "Go wash bathroom now." My back cold pressed on the bottom of the steel tub and my vagina uncovered, upward smoldering. Brian splashes water, burning. He tries skim milk. Okay, mini relief. Here I am, flailing my legs around in this air, trying to expose the best position for milk spillage. Temporary relief. He leaves to the kitchen, coming back a knight in shining armor. A knight in shining armor. The half-used leftover yogurt. Holy God, yes! As proud as he can be, he straddles the tub, looking down at me with his first attack of creamy pain relief. I'm just thinking, throw it all on me! Laughing and crying and burning. I can't take it anymore. With a big smile and a roar, he dollops, flings, and dings the yogurt right at my cunt. The relief is immediate and exquisite. Holy fuck. He dollops again. He looks like he just won an award at the grade 4 science fair, and I fucking love him. More relief, more yogurt, more relief, more yogurt, more love, more flinging, more relief, more laughing, more relief, more crying, more yogurt. Yogurt, more love.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know if I did it justice. Liz does wonderful with it.
Well, we'll get to hear her do it, but it's really nice to hear the author do it, which is very exciting.
Oh, thanks.
That did not go where I'd envisioned it to go. Although I have heard kind of similar experiences, but with hot wings. So
right?
But
watch out.
I've never tried the ranch dip with that, so I don't know. So
just be careful with oral sexy time. That's all I'm saying.
But I love the fact you waited till after the orgasm before you did anything was wrong. So, and though with the habaneros, that does take, it kind of creeps up. It's almost like a silent stalker when it comes to the hotness.
Definitely. So always make sure you just use half the yogurt in a recipe, just in case. I know, that one's a good one.
That one's an awesome one. Man.
Oh, gosh. Also, I really like the word cunt. I think we should bring it back in a way that is beautiful and gorgeous.
Ask what your thoughts were on the C word. So
the
C speak.
Word. I don't really like the word bitch. That really makes me cringe, because you're calling someone like a dog or something that's like hurtful or you know. Whereas you're saying a cunt, you're just calling someone a vagina, and that's not bad. Like, okay, so I'm a vagina. Great. So yeah, it's tricky because I remember. My ex is like, you know, you're really ruining me, because anytime I'm going to say cunt to anyone else, I'm going to go smack in the face. And I'm like, sorry.
Well, no, I was curious because Eve Ensler's also, she's got Reclaiming Cunt and the Vagina Monologues mm-hmm, as well.
Definitely, yeah.
Which once I was lucky enough to hear somebody perform that doing to James Brown's I Feel Good and actually sang it.
Wow.
Which I have to say was pretty cool. So I've never heard it that way any other time, but that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that's one story in my book.
So people will get, how can they buy a copy of your book?
Yeah, so you can go onto my brand new sexy website. It's loveandcooking.ca, lowercase. You can buy it online. I'm also going to be in the next 6 months doing events because I really want to talk to people. I want to get to know them because connection is really important to me. After my book launch on the 12th, on April 15th, on the Monday, I'm doing a tea talk at 05 Rare Tea Bar in Kitsilano. So hopefully once a month I'll be going there, and the tea talk is about tea and intimacy. So I'll be talking about how matcha can actually be really good for your sex life. So those are exciting times.
Of course I want to know a little more details about that.
I'll let you, yeah.
2 minutes or less?
2 minutes? I don't think so. But I'm just saying, the more matcha, the better. And then, you know, in July I'm partnering with, I'm really excited about this, In the House Festival. They have their festival in June, but they're partnering with me to do a special presentation of my book. So we're actually turning it into an immersive play. So you get to walk around the house and see, you know, these characters develop their love and sex and cooking and that. So that'll be in July in Vancouver. So I'm really excited about things like that.
That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So in terms of my what's next for you, that's flash forward a year from now.
Sure.
Your second book's probably either at publisher or ready to
I'm hoping published. So. Yeah. Yeah. Give me a year. I also want to, like, enjoy the moments. Mm-hmm. In Calgary, I always went from project to project to project. And, you know, 4 years later, I was like, what? I just produced 290 artists? Oh, what? You know, so I really want to, like, take the time to enjoy it and relax as well. Mm-hmm. It's the balance in Vancouver. Take care of yourself and have the balance. So, yeah, in a year. Now gluten-free and penis-free will be out.
Gluten-free and penis-free.
Yeah. I really like penis. So it's, I'm sad that it's not in the book, but. No, it's in the book. But.
And of course, I'm curious as to what's going to happen by next year, because who knows what the future will bring. So.
Who knows?
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Yay!
And for those who may be just tuning in right now, if we just want to plug for April 12th as well, for the event as well, and just basically the 60-second commercial version, if you may.
Sure. So on April 12th, we're going to be at the Beaumont Studios, 8 p.m. You can buy tickets online at loveandcooking.eventbrite.com. There's going to be performances, music. I have a chef coming in doing recipes from the book. It's going to be a surprising night and definitely worth it. So.
That sounds very cool. And they can get tickets at loveandcooking.ca?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. What is the dress code for that?
Sensual and hot pink, because that's my favorite color.
Hot pink. Okay. In that case, of course, I'm wondering if I should go virginal white so that way I can stand out.
Definitely. Definitely. White, black, and pink. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.